Now we're going to be looking at the second reading, which is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 13 to 20, except they skip a bunch of, well, one verse in between. Don't know why. Anyway, Corinth. I've already talked to you about Corinth, huh? It was a really very immoral town, but the Lord had his heart set on them. So he sent Paul to preach in signs and wonders and endowed them with great charismatic gifts so they would be reminded and get out of the, mostly it would be sensuality and dishonesty would be their problems there. And so now they're spiritual folks, you see. Now he's in chapter 6. He's already said, perhaps it would be worth, I'm reading the first, some of the first 12 verses of chapter 6, which gets us where we're supposed to be. How can any of you with a case against another dare to bring it to the unjust for judgment? If you've got a problem with another brother, bring it to a third brother. You go to a secular court, and they're going to judge between two of God's people? What are you doing? Now, it happens all the time today. And that's wrong. Is there nobody among you who is bright enough to settle this case, whatever it is? Does brother have to go to brother, and that before unbelievers? You see? So then he goes on about it, and then he starts to talk about sexual immorality, and then he quotes this text. That's where that, well, not exactly. The text is, everything is lawful for me. Panta existin, you know? Everything is lawful for me. And the motto, food's for the stomach and the stomach is for food. I mean, it's clear, right? Okay. And that's true, he said, and God will do away with both, the stomach and the food one day. However, you push this another step. The body is for fornication, and fornication is for the body. That's not true. Food for the body, body for food, that's fine. But we're so spiritual and above all these small things, you know. We understand the body is for fornication, porneia, and porneia is for the body. And he says, look, that's not true. But now, is he going to think of the bad example? You don't know. He goes, as he always does, to the theological heart of it. You see? The body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Think about that. The Lord is for the body. Okay? Whoops, I need these notes over here. See, the soma is not for porneia, but for the kyrios. And the kyrios, the Lord, is for the soma. That's the foundation for sexual morality. Once you pull that out, everybody goes nuts. And they always have. And that ruins a civilization. Look at Rome. And so, this text is talking about vocation. One aspect. And he goes on in a very beautiful way, as we're going to read now. Huh? The Lord, that's the kyrios, that's Jesus, is for the body. He died and rose for your body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Your body is destined for eternal life. To share, your body will be kept alive and in existence by the direct gift of the Trinity to your body. It's the Trinitarian life that will keep you in physical and spiritual existence forever. So take care of your body. Realize that. When you see these, especially the girls, dressing the way they do, and it gets worse all the time, trying to be eye candy for the boys, they don't know anything. And it's our fault. We have to not only preach and shake our finger at them, we have to live like people who know that the Lord is for our body. You see? And so, do you not know, you see, God raised the Lord and He'll raise us by His power. That's the future of your body, to be with the Lord forever. So then he goes on to say, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? You are physically joined to Jesus Christ. Do you know that? You are the body of Christ. That's important, right? And so, you make up a physical entity with Christ and Christ with you. The church is the physical presence of Christ on earth now. And that's you. You see where he's going with this? He could have said, well, that's really naughty to be fornicating all the time. Open up the vision. So what happens? People want to shut off the vision so they don't have to pay attention to it. We all do that, one way or another. But we see with fornication, this will corrupt and totally ruin a society, family, sexual irresponsibility. And our Lord has already said, you know, woe to those who lead others into sin. I don't own a television. Baruch Hashem, thank God. You see? But you can look at the thing. All these women, you know, as naked as the law will allow, inciting lust in men, they are sinning. They're too dumb to know it. But that doesn't mean that sin is not corrupting them, because it is. So the Corinthians had this problem, and that's why he's after them for it. Don't you know? You see? That your bodies are physical part of the whole Christ? You're members of Christ. Shall I then take Christ's members and make them the members of a prostitute? Of course not. Or don't you know that anyone who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her? That's the depth that people neglect, huh? And oh, even the doctors can tell us this. Especially in the woman, there's a physical change with sexual intercourse. And a hormone is stirred up that will attach her to the man. Even our bodies know better than we do. And so, you see, becomes one body with her. And he uses the word body. If we had time, I might have time. For the two, it says, will become one flesh. And he goes back to the Genesis text, you see. He uses the word body, the Greek word, but he, as I've mentioned, there is a word in Hebrew, goof, but it's never used. So he becomes basar echad. Well, you see, because as the text says, they become one flesh. When you see how fornication, sexual immorality is pushed, promulgated, encouraged, starting in third grade with so-called sex education. Who's behind all that? Who hates the human race? The one who hates God, Satan. But he can't get at God, so he gets at God's image in us. And one of the ways is through sexual immorality. And then the result, I mean, it's tragic, the result. Kids don't even know what to do with themselves. When you meet a family where the children have been brought up to respect their bodies, I know a family, and there's three young, they're all grown now, but when there were three little girls in the family, and we'd be watching the television football game or something, and something would come out a little bit off color, they'd all just turn away. Nobody had to tell them. Nobody had to tell them. They just knew, that's not fit for eyes. No, you shouldn't watch that. They all just turned away. Somebody taught them well, didn't they? Okay. But whoever is joined to the Lord, you see, becomes one spirit with Him. You become one flesh, yeah. But if you're joined to the Lord, you're one spirit with Him. You see? Therefore, avoid fornication. Avoid immorality, is the way it's translated. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the immoral person, you see, the one who's committing, you see, this kind of a sin, you see, sins against his own body. Is it irreparable? No. There's a great tradition, you know, that when Mary Magdalene died and the women were preparing her body for burial, they found out that she was physically a virgin. Even the physical virginity had been restored to her by the holiness of her life and by her devotion to Jesus. Huh? So it's never irreparable. Everybody's shocked there in Israel because the tax collectors who are crooks and the prostitutes. You know, some women are prostitutes because they're so poor and they have children. They hate it. But what are they going to do? If we had a better social system, we could help them get jobs. A lot of the sins, and of course that's the worst thing, the woman sins and then she's the bad one, not the guy. Remember in John 8, where they bring this woman caught in adultery. You can't catch a woman in adultery. You got to catch a woman and a man in adultery. So where's the man? Okay. Anyway, you see, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? What you do with your body, you know, is it a concern of God's? Because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, dwells in your body. He's through you like heat and water. He's not one little spot, you know. He's all over. God is. And that's why he ends by saying, you see, so you've been purchased at a great price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. By how you smile, how you walk, how you dress, how you care for the poor, you know, how you make friends, glorify God in your body. That's part of the Christian vocation. Nobody can be so spiritual, which is what the Corinthians were trying to do. I'm spiritual, see? I'm above all these material considerations, you know. Food is for the body, and the body is for food. The body is for sexual intercourse. Intercourse is for the body. Paul says, don't you get it? The body is for the Lord, to live out your life, to love, to help, to preach, to care for the poor, to found a family, to raise up disciples to Christ who can make him better known in the world before the whole thing goes to pot. The body is for the Lord. Your smile is for the Lord. You know, when I discovered, reading St. Thomas, that affability is a part of justice. If I'm affable with somebody, I'm giving him his due. It's not out of the abundance of my great love and virtue. I'm giving him what is his due. Affabilitas est pars justitiae. Well, to be affable, I have to do it with my body. Smile, shake hands, offer a cup of coffee, listen attentively, but it's all my body. And therefore, he says in the last line here, this is your vocation, glorify God in your body. Amen.